Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, in this manner tonight. Because of your grace, your mercy, Lord, that grant us this privilege.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, you call us before the foundation of the world. If it wasn't for you, your calling, O Lord, we won't be here tonight. We'll be somewhere out there in the world walking in sin and have no knowledge, Lord, that we need a Savior. But we know, Lord, your gospel that goes out into the world, and we know it's been preached to many nations around. And in fact, Lord, as thy word say, you will go to all the nations of the world. And yet we know that many have heard, but they never really hear, Lord, what your Spirit says, O Lord. Each time we hear the gospel, it's just in one ear and out the other. And we know, Father, from your word, it is the deep that calleth to the deep. And it's only, Lord, when there is good ground, when your seed fall upon that good ground, that it will yield for much fruit, O Lord. And we are thankful, Lord, that you have prepared our heart as good ground to receive your word. We have nothing to do with it, Father, because, Lord, you are the one that call. You are the one that make it possible. And we thank you, Lord. The only thing we do not understand why you love us. Out of the billions of people in this world, you have chosen us to be able to see the wonderful words of life. And we thank you, Lord. Tonight, even as we gather, we know in other parts of the world, there are those that might get up this in the morning, Lord, and to have fellowship. Even so, we pray that you be with them too, Lord. And we are thankful, Father, for this nation, where there is peace and harmony, that we can find a place to fellowship without being persecuted, Lord, without all the pain, O Father, and fear that the evil one may just enter in and just cause trouble and destroy. And we're thankful, Lord, for this. So bless us tonight now as we look into your word, the hour that we live in, and to share the wonderful thing, O Lord, that you have for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now, tonight, you know, we have spoken on the rapture issues for 3 months altogether. 15 in the series on rapture. I didn't know how long it's supposed to be when I first started, because I know there's a lot of interest and a lot of things that's going on in Christianity or in Christendom, and what you can see on the internet, and then the forums, and we have so many different kinds of Christian who really love the Lord, and those people, Christian who are looking for his coming, and they're trying to figure out when he's coming, and so on and so forth, and what they believe concerning the coming rapture. So when we started that, we didn't realize that it took us all together 15 in the series, 15 Sunday until last Sunday when we finished it up. Now the strange thing is, I don't know whether you call it coincidence or not. Many times when we have a message, something event will pop up and kind of bring us a little more understanding. So in the last 3 weeks ago, Brother Pierre's brother, Brother Tony Rohana, you know, if you have read his testimony of how God dealt with him and how the Lord dealt with his wife, I think it's a God of grace, you know, people like them, you know, who never thought of ever coming to see the beautiful words of life. And the Lord just dealt with him, and then the Lord dealt with the wife in a very unusual way. You know, and only that now, they had a vision 2014, and they wrote it to us, to me and Brother Pierre, Brother Nice, and was kind of afraid to post it on the internet because they want to get their business sort of first. But somehow the Lord was dealing with them in very strange way, now in Barbara, especially Brother Tony, to make him to see the time is come for him to get out of California. Now, so we are going to look at tonight a little bit of his vision, and we want to look at the earthquake that is coming. I want to ask some question regarding the earthquake and how the event will unfold, the scenario that we think that might be the way that happened, what is going to happen, and how that we are going to look to the scripture tying all those events of the end time concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, let us go to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 25. What is on, right? The recording audio is all on. Okay. Alright, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 25. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, that is one thing you need to always remember. That's Paul's writing. There was never a greater apostle than Paul. Okay? And he spoke very powerfully. He wrote whatever he wrote in all these epistles very powerfully and with great confidence because he was shown this revelation of God. And he showed it's true. He said that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but sad to say that many Christians are in fear. Alright, and that is very true, especially anti-message people. They don't have the liberty to look into the Bible. They don't even have the liberty to look at God's Word. They have been always told, no, you do not know just the Catholic Church. You do not know the Bible. You cannot interpret the Bible. You cannot just read it, so it's no use reading it. Must I read what Abraham said in the spoken word book and such like thing. And so people don't carry the Bible with them. They don't read the Bible. And they only say, depend everything on what Brother Branham said. And they expect that what Brother Branham said, they just simply believe. Every statement he said, they just believe. So there's a lot of fear, and this is very contrary. It is very contrary. God is not a God who expects you to know everything in the Scripture. He expects you to study the Word. If you make a mistake in understanding, that is no problem. Because God will help us to understand. Our Father on earth helps us to understand our own Father. And how He, you know, how our Father will discipline us, chastise us to get to know Him better. You see, and how that He will correct us. So the same thing with the Heavenly Father. But people who fear, it's sad. Very, very sad because it's contrary to faith. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. The day when our body will be changed and will be manifest as the sons of God, ruling with Christ in the millennium. When He sits in the throne in Jerusalem to rule the world. For the earnest expectation of the creature, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, if you look at the world today, what happened to all the animals today? How many animals are already completely even extinct? Birds, animals, fishes are completely running dry on this earth. People overfish. Huh? Birds are even dying because of the pollution, because deforestation, and they have to migrate somewhere else. You know. And what about all the other great animals? Some of the animals, even I was told, some even of the Bengal tiger, in fact, almost come to an extinction. They only found just a few. And they try to preserve it and just to make sure that they don't die out. You see. That's terrible. You know. And you see, the Bible here says, it says that the creature waited for the manifestation. Yeah, they're crying, they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because when Christ comes to reign, when we rule with Christ, in that millennium period, there will be peace for 1,000 years. And the knowledge of God will cover the whole earth. And there will be no more killing. And the animal will not be killed by people just like that. You know, and mankind will live in peace with the animals. A child will play with a snake, with a viper, and will not be hurt. A lamb will sit beside the lion, will not be eaten by the lion. That's the Eden that we are looking for when Christ comes. For the creature will be subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. And that is the reason why God allowed the sin to come, to test us, to make us realize who we are. But you know, mankind, because they are foreign kind of being now, they will never realize who they are. You know, I was watching a video, and I think I sent it to you because Brother Andrew Peters sent it to me. And after I sent the link forward to you, some of them wrote me to me, so I couldn't find the link. I think then I went back and found that his link was removed somehow, I don't know. You know, maybe it was not, you cannot just simply link to somebody else. But it's found on a YouTube. It's on evolutionversusgod.com. And it was a video about 20 minutes, and it was really interesting video. Where a Christian group of men in this Christian organization, where now they're interviewing graduate, postgraduate, you know, PhD, lecturers, professors, chemists, whatever. Intelligent men. And asking them what they believe. I'm an atheist. What do you believe? I'm agnostic. Yeah? Do you believe that God created heavens and the earth? No. What do you believe then? I believe that I came from a fish. And all that thing about Darwinian doctrine, theory. And more questions were asked, and I can tell you one thing, it's a video that's really worth watching. I'll try to send you the link again. It's really worth watching. You couldn't believe how that you get all these intelligent people. And the one of Brother Branham said, education is of the devil. They study until there's no God. I came from a monkey, they said. I came from a fish. And the man asked them, the Christian man asked them, show me one kind. You believe in Darwin's theory? Yeah. Show me one kind of a kind that changed to another kind. Oh yes, I can prove it to you. There are so many thousands. Okay, give me one kind. And he said, well, take by some of the birds. You know, the finch. And you know, you can see there are different kinds of finch, the big changes. And the Christian man said, that is still the bird. That is only evolution to where it adapts. That's adaptation. That is evolved. You know, human adapt. That's why you have the black, you have the white, the yellow, the African people. Because we adapt. You know, and the more there are some of these people get to think and couldn't find an answer. You know how foolish they really are. But it was a good task to me. They were trying to get them to see that they need the Savior, that there is truly a God. You know. So we can just imagine that. So now, God allowed it to happen so that God wants us to have a different kind of body. God is doing this, it's because of us. It's not doing this because of the world. Do you understand? Even like Jesus said, I came not to seek the righteous. Huh? I don't call the righteous, I call the sinner to repentance. You see? But on the world today, a lot of people are thinking, do you think you're going to have it, make it into heaven? I think so. Do you think you're a good man? Yes. And all that thing. Sure. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And it will not come until we are changed. Then the world will come to a different state. Alright, but we know that the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. Since the time of the fall, the whole earth is in travail. The creature is in travail. The earth itself is butching. It's travailing. It's rolling, rocking, and rolling. And only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What? To wit, the redemption of the body. That's all we are waiting for. We are already redeemed, but this body has to be redeemed. Our soul and spirit have been redeemed. It is this body that must be redeemed. Taken back from corruption. Taken those that are corrupt, or those that died, decayed, All right, corrupt into incorruption. But those of us who are mortal, we are mortal, so that God will have to change his body to immortality. Okay, so with the redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. What hope is that? The blessed hope of the coming of the Lord when our body will be changed. For hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what do he yet hope for? That is true, isn't it? If we see, you don't need to hope. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And we have been waiting so long. The church has been waiting so long. The saints have come, they died, and they passed along. And we are here. And there has come to a time when this age must close out. And I believe it is in our generation. Let us go to the next one in Matthew chapter 27. So how then we are looking at now is, how would the redemption of this body come? Matthew 27. Alright. Here we know that Christ was arrested and judged, and then they brought him to Calvary. And in verse 45, now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now, the 6 hours is what time? What time? 12 o'clock. Now, why is it called the 6 hours? Because they count time from 6 p.m. From the day begin at 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So from 6 a.m. onward, it's called the first hour until the 12 o'clock is the 6 hour. So it's the 6 hours in the noontime. Okay, it's still light time. And then, darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. Between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. is called the two evenings, and that is the 3 hour period where the lamb must be sacrificed and prepared for the Passover. Okay, so now Christ was hanging upon the cross, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, "My Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood by there when they heard that, said, "This man called for Elijah." And so one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on his reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. It is finished. And you say, that's the last part. It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake." Watch that. "And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many of bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." Now, here is a well-known record. This is the only place I think that of the four gospels, I think that Matthew is the one that record, because he wrote about who? He wrote about Jesus Christ as the, come on, he wrote Jesus as the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember? Okay, so now his idea was, and he gave up the ghost, and then there was an earthquake. Right? And then the grave was open. And then he says the dead rose up. Here he says here in verse 53, "And came out of the grave after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many." Now here it seems that there might be to some kind of strange. To some they say that, okay, the earthquake happened when he died. But then the Bible said, and the grave was open. Because there was a grave open. And then many body of the same which slept arose, but came out of the grave only on the resurrection day. So, how many earthquake actually was there? Now, if you read this alone, there's only one earthquake. But there is another earthquake. Let us go over to chapter 20. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keeper did shake and became as dead man. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord laid. Is it clear now? So this is what happened. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake. When the earthquake shook in the temple, that curtain that separates the most holy place from the holy place where the priest minister. Facing that veil is the golden altar of incense. On the left hand side, as you look to the curtain, is the seven golden candlesticks. On the right hand side, on there, is the table of showbread. Okay, behind is the door when it comes in. Behind the curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. So now this veil cannot be opened. Because only once a year, the high priest can enter in. Nobody else can enter in. But when Jesus Christ died, that veil was torn from top to bottom. It shows that the way now is open. Because Christ now the mediator. You don't go to a priest, you don't go to a rabbi, you don't go to anybody else. You need forgiveness, go right in. And just approach Christ. Do you understand that? You see, so that's what happened on the day when Jesus Christ died upon the cross. The earthquake came and that veil in the temple was rent in twain. The earthquake was so strong that it opens up the graves. Now, when we talk about the graves, in those days, the grave wasn't the kind of grave that we have today that you see. Most of it was actually a sepulchre, a hole in a hillside. You understand? That's what most of it is. But it ran so they all cracked up. Nothing happened, just all those graves were open. Maybe there are some small little, a little rocky place there and a little coffin, that's buried, someone buried him inside. It cracked open. A stone that is on top of the hole cracked open. A stone that is upon the hole, like the one that Jesus was buried in, or kept in, that grave that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. The rock was rolled back, right? But it wasn't rolled back on that day. It was rolled back only on the day when he resurrected. And that's what you see over in chapter 28. And therefore there are two earthquakes. In this chapter 28, it was approaching dawn and the woman wanted to go to the after all, Sabbath is over. Now they can work. Now they can go anywhere they want. So they went and ran to the sepulchre. Before they reached that place, there was an earthquake. Angel was there and the rock that covers the sepulchre was rolled back. So by that time when the woman came, the angel told him, come, he's arisen. The one that you seek is no longer here. He has arisen. It was on that day that those sins, those Old Testament sins that was in the grave, that was open, that's when they get up. Do you understand that? Why nobody goes to the grave? Because there was nobody goes to it because he was a servant. You're not supposed to work. Do you understand that? You see,
And there were some of these that resurrected. They are the Old Testament, and some of them went over into the city of Jerusalem and were seen by many. And I can tell you one, they are a testament to those who believe in the living Christ at that time. Now, here we have the thing right now is this. Looking at this, we always take this passage of scriptures. And in any case, we have to believe that something must shake the earth, because the earth is travailing. The earth is crying out, "Release me from my pain!" Because all the evil men, whatever they are doing, they're only working out for their own gain. See? So, we believe, and I believe personally, that there's going to be an earthquake. They will have to shake this whole earth to open up the grave of the saints of God. That they will rise up, because according to the book of Apostle Paul, he said, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are alive, should be caught up together with them. They have to rise first. Why? Why did these saints in the day when Jesus Christ died, there was an earthquake? Because why? You see, death is something that's in the hands of Satan. He have brought about death into the world. And Christ has to conquer death. Remember this? He has to conquer death. So when he died, the earth shook. Just imagine. That now is someone that they have to accept. Because after all, it seems everybody would think, Satan said, "Well, he told Jesus, no, I show you all this world, all the thing out there. Bow down and I'll give all this whole kingdom to you." You know what I'm saying? After all, he is the king. The devil is the god of this evil world. It belongs to him. Everything that's upon this earth belongs to him. You see. So when Satan thought that he got Christ crucified, well, he may have a little celebration. We got him. And all the little quickian, little devils said, "We got him." So probably they went out there in hell and had a big celebration. "Lo, in the grave he laid Jesus, our Lord." Waiting for the coming day. And what happened to him? He rose again. He rose again. You know what happened to Jesus when he was buried? His body was lying in the tomb. His spirit went down to the prison. He went down to Sheol. The Bible says he went down. And well, you know what? I think the devil had a good party going on. And Christ went down. Who is the King of Glory? The little man, the little boy from the carpenter's shop. They were surprised to see him. He came and he snatched the key from Satan and he kicked him on the head and bruised his head, so to speak, you know. And Jesus took the key and unlocked the door. Remember? He unlocked the door of the righteous. And the Bible said when he ascended up to heaven, he led captivity captive. They're free now. There's the liberation. There is the liberty. When Christ rose again, all these things must rise. So death, there's an earthquake. Resurrection, there's an earthquake. Death cannot hold him. Christ rose again. So, we believe that this is going to happen one of these days, because Paul said so. The day in Christ shall rise first. At the last trump. And we are approaching the last trump. Do you understand? We are approaching the last trump. And while we're talking about the rapture in the last 15 weeks, looking at it, examining it, look at all the signs, look at all the... Well, I think that one of the most important is that watchman, what of the night? Look at the countdown. We already said this. Okay, that this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. We said the generation is 70 years, right? 70 years. Jesus Christ was born in zero. And after he died, he said, all that you see in Jerusalem, all these things will be broken down, taken away. All this temple will be broken down. All the whole temple, the wall, not one brick will be laying upon the other. So it happened in 70 AD. And the children of Israel were all scattered because they rejected him. Right? So now, 1948, we already had a countdown. 1948, May 14th. May 14th, yes. 1948. Year 70, we say always 2018, right? 2018 is the 70th year, right?
Yes.
But Jesus said, this generation shall not pass away. That's what we always expect. That it today is a floating time of 2 years. So we look at 2017, 2019. That's a very nice floating year. We're not far to go. So what we are talking about, that here we have Brother Tony Rohana coming up with more, God giving more visions and dreams, and then, wow, he don't even know what it was, and God started to deal with his life, and started to give him understanding. And then, he was so excited. Now, you know, we are talking, and he's drawn the chart, and he didn't understand some of the things, what God is showing him. And so this is what we're going to show it to you tonight. I want to show you this first of all. Alright. So now the thing is this. We all know that science or seismologies, they knew about the great coming California earthquake. They only do not know what time is it that it's going to explode and how big it will be. But lately, all the internet, they have a lot of article posted up by those who really study deep into it. And they said, this is going to be huge. Now, in the Bible that we read just now, in chapter 27 of Matthew, it said when Jesus died upon the cross, the earth shook. Right? But in chapter 28, it says, a great earthquake. Which in the Greek word, great is mega earthquake. Now, how big is mega? You know what I mean? It's a description. So how do you quantify what is mega? So at that time when Matthew wrote that incident, he heard from witnesses who were there, living in that vicinity, that it was big. Now if the ground shook, maybe 1 kilometer, they could feel it, you know. So they said, oh, we have an earthquake. Right? But if that ground shook real hard, it split the whole thing. Alright? You understand what I'm saying? That some, perhaps some building fall and all of it, we probably say, oh, that's a big earthquake. So now the whole thing is this, that it seems that the Bible used the word mega, big earthquake, many of the places in the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, he said there's a great earthquake, there's a great earthquake. So how great an earthquake is great? This one that is going to come is going to be a super mega earthquake. But this is not the last of the big earthquake. The one that is going to describe as the great earthquake that has never been seen by the whole world before is the one that will shake Vatican City in Rome. You know, so that you will bring the whole darkness upon the beast out there in Europe. And that's described as big. So, but we want to look at this one here. You know, Brother Abraham talks about it. Brother Abraham prophesied about this California will sink. And he's always pointing to Los Angeles and Hollywood and all, you know, because of the filth that is out there. Okay, and well, he prophesied, but nobody knows when it's going to come. And because Brother Abraham prophesied, and there are believers who live in California, they are being boo-boo, so to speak, by some other churches who are in the end time, saying that, oh, they don't believe in what Brother Abraham said. Brother Abraham said, call them, they get out, and they're still there. You know, and I don't agree with them. Of course, you know, these people are talking about, because, you know, at that time, Brother Ernest Horton, they have a church out there in Oakland. And I had a talk of Brother Ernest Horton at that time, and he was telling me, you know, Brother Gary, have you heard all this news that we're going to get out of California? They are blackballing us and things like that, you know. I said, yeah, I heard about it. He said, what do you think? He asked me. I said, well, you stay where you are. Oh, there's no light. He said, yes, if we get out from California, where is the light? And he said, I believe, Brother Jan, that if God is going to sing this land, He will tell us when to leave. And I said, that's the truth. Because when God wanted to burn down the whole of that city of Gomorrah and Sodom, God sent a messenger. Because you know what Abraham said to him, Lord, what if there's 100? What if there's 50? What if there's 40? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? You know, bargain with God. Would you destroy them? Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Obviously not at all. You see. So, but we know it's going to happen. Alright, now let's look at this man. St. Andrew of Fort. Now it's well along. All the way from Eureka. All the way right now. Past Los Angeles behind, and even further down to a place called the Southern Sea. It's a lake of God, the Sea of Galilee, a lake, big lake. It's called the Southern Sea. It's very big. Okay? Now, how many miles long is that? It's 340 miles. Huh? 540 kilometers, so to speak. Kind of big, huh? Long. All the way. I mean, from San Francisco to Los Angeles. But the whole thing from here to here, all the way down, is 640 miles. 1,300 kilometers. Now, let me show you this. Brother Tony Rohana had a vision in 2014. April 18. Now when he had that vision, it happens on the road when he was taking his children to see Noah's Ark, a kind of exhibition. I will later show you a little brief of it, but I want to point where the place he believed is going to start. The place the earthquake is going to start is right not far from Los Angeles here. Now, it's, you say, wow, the fault lies here, where you started with. And you know, most of the earthquake, when they start, they don't start in the fault line. You know, when there is a crack, the faults seem to be generated somewhere else away, just like the one in Fukushima and the one over in Aichi. They found out it was out there in the ocean. So, the Lord showed it to him that it was stuck somewhere just not far from Los Angeles. We'll see more of that. But I want to see how long is this fault line. Now, see how it cut through all the way to San Francisco. San Jose. That's where Clement and Zoe is staying there, in San Jose. Behind the fault line. But it goes right through San Francisco. All the way out to Eureka. That is an Andrea fault line. But this is just only a fault line. Next. See there, how many fault lines? How many fault lines there are? Ah, San Andrea. Then you have San Gregory. You know, Hayward. You have, oh my. Look at so many of these. California is the most dangerous state in the whole world. Let us look at another one. Now, look at how hot this place is. That's an Andrew Fault. See how hot the lake is. All these little black marks. Look at all these little black marks here. You know, these are all very hot places. And according to seismologists, when it breaks, when the fault line goes, this is the Pacific plate. This is the North American plate. Well, the American plate is pushing down. This Pacific plate is pushing up. And when it cracked, they said that it will travel 30 feet in 1 second. Just how dangerous that is. And then on the website, on the World Wide Web, there is a man who put up an article. He actually took pictures. He traveled along this fault line to take pictures where the line is, and he found that so many of the houses were built on top of it. So I imagine when it cracked, it just sink right in, even without the whole piece of land sinking into the ocean. Everybody just living there. And after all, California is a nice state. It's a nice weather, good weather. Okay, if you were to look from the south part, here we have the Southern Lake, or Southern Sea. San Andreas Fault starts from there, go right now to Los Angeles, all the way up to Ukiah. And there are other faults that goes to the Gulf of California. So there's a North American plate, there's a Pacific plate. If this is going upward, the other one is going downward. So see how much push there is? Okay, next. Now this is California here. You know, whenever I'm talking about California sinking, I would just think how big would that California, how big a piece it would be. And I was thinking perhaps it was just Los Angeles. And perhaps up to San Francisco, this piece would sink. Because the San Andreas Fault starts from here. There is the Southern Sea, starts from here. But no. Brother Abraham was saying, he says, 1,500 miles up there. 1,500 miles up there. The San Andreas Fault from here to here was 640 miles. But now I begin to realize there's the fault that we see earlier in the other picture that goes right now. And if it were to sink, this whole piece will probably all will sink. And I found from here to here, this piece is 2,000 kilometers. Slightly more than 2,000 kilometers. 1,480 miles long. Would this whole piece of land from here all the way up here go right down into the sea? Now the fault line, though it runs on, there's a lot of fault. But also in the north, to Vancouver, is another fault line. In Alaska, is a fault line. Let us look at next one, next picture here. The Ring of Fire, very well known. Look at all this. How hot this really is, Alaska. In 1964, you know, before that, couple of months before Brother Ben talked about there's going to be a great earthquake in the West Coast. And they have the biggest earthquake today. That was the Alaskan earthquake. 9.7, something like that. Huh? Only that, fortunately, that there are not many people living there. Huh? But here, oh my, that's a lot of people. So, let's look at it and let us think for the moment. If the earthquake happened, and would this be the last earthquake to take away the bride? Would it be the last of the earthquake to take the bride home? That is the question. Now, if it starts, and it's big, and it triggered, now, it happened, Brother Tony Rohana said that God showed him. Somehow or other, the way that God dealt with him, he was looking at things that he never expected to see. I will show you the chart. But he says it's going to happen on the May the 26th, 2017. And the earthquake was stuck in a certain place because the Lord showed him and his wife. His wife had a dream the night before and he had a dream the day when they were driving in the car. He said, is it a coincidence? And yet he do not know what it's all about. It was taking him so long before the Lord was speaking to him, dealing with him.
Then he began to look at something, and he decided to form a chart, and you are looking at pattern. Now, if the earthquake starts on that particular day, does it mean that the earthquake will boom and the whole piece of California sink? I don't believe it. I don't believe so. I believe that there will be a series of earthquakes that will fracture the continent or the continent shelf of California and break up. You know what I mean? It's just that you break a little thing, a piece by piece, like you are fracturing a piece of metal. You know what I mean? Talking about a little bit crack one side and then slowly you fall apart. So if it is, then when the ring of fire starts and go around to Asia. There is an article on the website said that if this thing happened on the west coast of America, it will also push this other side in Asia and will cause the same problem. Because these are all plates. These are all, see, the Pacific plate, Nazca plate, the Cocos plate, then the Indo-Australian plate, the Antarctica plate. You have all these plates pushing each other. So once this is big, grows up, will it continue to go all the way down, and this pushing over the South America, and the South America, this side push over, and all the way up to Himalaya on this side, into Israel, into the European nation. What the? But the thing is this, will the next big earthquake that comes and hit California, will it be the last one? They will wake up the dead in Christ. Okay? Alright, now, so you can see that it's a very big chart. Okay? And he's trying to put all the pieces together. So I told him that he needs to write his testimony and how the Lord showed him, how he comes to look at this whole thing as the revelation that God showed him. Okay, so finally the way that we could do is to start with section 8. Now you're enlarging. That's begin here. Okay, so is this section 8? Alright, so now emphasize on this. So it begins here. Okay, so can you see this here? Okay, now. This is the vision and dream on April 1814. It's a Friday. He didn't know it was Friday. He just dreamed it. That was 1940. He didn't. 2040, sorry. Then he had the next vision, 11-6-2015. It was also a Friday. Now, I want you to remember this because God sat down with him because he doesn't want, he wanted to start his business. Okay? And that's why he doesn't want me to put this testimony on the website yet until he sold off the business and put it. And God wasn't happy with him, as he said. And God began to show him something which he never even know. It's something about Potiphar's wife. He didn't even know. And then found out, oh, Potiphar's wife was the one who wanted to seduce Joseph. And then the Lord told him another thing and other things. It's time to get out. You know, he said, Virgo, now I realize Satan wanted to keep me away from going out of California. I told him, yes. Potiphar's wife seduced Joseph and said, do you know what happened to Joseph when he ran? He left his multicolored coat behind. I said, you've got to leave your things behind and get out. Okay, so this was the vision of that he had. Okay. To be able to understand this, first of all, let us look at his testimony first. Now, when he wrote me, this is the part that he wrote. Photo is they are both writing together, so you need to know who's writing what. So this is Sister Lorena, the wife. For the last 2 weeks, my husband and I have been discussing a strong desire to move out of California as soon as possible. Okay, so, well, they tried. And so he said, it was April 18, 2014, approximately 2:30 in the afternoon. We were traveling by car to a fun destination for our children
as you often do most weekend. And that place is Noah's Ark. And it's a skateball cultural center, which is in Los Angeles. Now while they were traveling, the husband was driving, okay, and they were supposed to exit, a certain exit, along a certain highway, the interstate or freeway, I think it's 105, freeway 405. Now, in the testimony, they were supposed to exit an earlier exit, which they normally do. But when they wanted to exit, they said it was closed. So they had to take the next exit. So when they take the next exit out, okay, suddenly, Tony, who was driving, started to call out, "Whoa, whoa!" And you know, he started slowly, and at the same time, Sister Lorena realized something happened. You see, as soon as we exit the freeway, now the exit is exit 59, Getty Center Drive. As soon as we exit the freeway at the base of front by the Grand Hill ahead, I was instantly hit with the memory of the dream. Now as Brother Tony drove to that place, Sister Lorena saw something. Okay, I was instantly hit with the memory of the dream I had the very night before. In the early hours before dawn, but at that exact moment, I could also hear my husband call out, "Whoa, whoa," with a visible physical reaction. He gently but firmly pressed on the brakes and brought the car to a halt at the stop sign. Although I was sitting right next to him on the passenger side, I was entranced by the memory and clarity of my own dream, which up until that very moment, I have absolutely no prior recollection of. And you know what? Brother Tony said, "I just had the eeriest feeling about this area, this mountain." I interrupt, grabbed his hand and said, "I just remember I had a dream last night. Let me tell you what I dreamt." Tony said, "No, wait, let me tell you about the dream you had last night, because God just told me that the earthquake will start here under this mountain. And these two mountains will be the first to come down." As soon as I heard those words, in Mary, I received a vision of these two mountains crashing down. You see, the wife had a dream the night before, but didn't tell the husband. And the husband, she reached there, she saw something was happening, and as the husband was seeing a vision of the earthquake, and the mountain came down. And the wife wanted to tell him, and he said, "No, I'll tell you what you dream." Now, why did God do this to them? And even Sister Lorena, she wasn't even fully surrender her life to God. You know. So let's go and look at the mountain. Okay, this is the freeway. Now this is north. That's north. This is north. They are looking, they are here, exiting. Now if you look at this mountain here, these are the two mountains that are going to come down first in the earthquake. Now, when I look into the internet and search about this mountain here, and the seismologist said, this is a place where over thousands of years there have been a lot of pushing, a lot of quake, a lot of, you know, the plate was pushing against each other, and they were actually showing all those waves on the earth, on the mountain, you know, how they form, because when you push, like when you start to knead your chapati together, you see those lines, or you, whatever you do, you can see those lines pushing. You know, interestingly, that is one part of the vision. Now let's go out. It's April 29th, not really vision, it was trying to tell what happened. Okay, we were proofreading the above information, trying to send it to you. To you means to me and Brother Nice and Brother Pierre. Well, we came across some information we strongly thought must be shared with you. Okay, now the husband was trying to find out, and both of them were trying to figure out, why did we get to this exit? How is it that the exit that we want to take was blocked? Why did God send us to this exit? You know, to see this vision, and why? And strange enough, you find that Sister Lorena, at the age of 4, had a dream. Okay, she always remembered that dream. But when she came up to that earthquake, that place, she couldn't figure out. Until she do a search on Google and look at the map, you know, and all that, and it hits on her, she was shaken. Alright. You see, this, what it came up going up. Okay, this part here. Alright, you see this picture? This is taken from the top. From here. Okay. Now, let us see what she wrote about this. I calmed myself down and chose to give some time to see if I was overreacting to things. I went back to the office room, at which time Tony came back to sit at the computer. He seemed puzzled and kept saying, God led us to this exit. But why the Getty Center Drive? Why this mountain? What's about the Getty Center? And I wanted to keep my mouth shut. Then his sister Rena was saying, I want to keep my mouth shut to selfishly give myself more time and make sure of the connection. But after 5 minutes of hearing Tony continually wondering out loud, I couldn't hold it any longer. I said to him, I know why, and I started to cry. I reminded him of my dream, which I had shared with him several times before, and he looked back at the image on the internet, he instantly understood. So the vision about this thing that he had when she was young, about this blue water like thing, and all this checkered thing, and this square thing, then when he sees this on the internet, she realized. You know, it brings back the memory. So how did God deal with the person? Praying for the wife that she will give her, that God will give her the assurance to make her to see that God had called her to be an elect. And Brother Tony was praying in the morning at around, I think, 3-4 o'clock. And then when the wife woke up at 6 o'clock, and that's what happened. And she gave her life to the Lord. Wonderful. Then, okay, we go back to that chart now. I want to just quickly close that because we don't want to take too much time. Now, as I said, this is a very big chart. So we go back to A now here again, to section A. So now, he didn't know what, but the Lord was dealing with him. So when the second vision came on the 11th, or on the November the 6th, this is all, they put November first, right? The month first. November the 6th, 2015. Brother Blessing Nice sent me the following message. I prophesy strength and grace to your family in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My wife later had a dream or a vision in which I point my finger at the map of California and said, in half an hour. And she looked up and saw that a portion of California had broken away from its location into the sea. Okay, so this was just vision. They don't know what it was all about. Okay? Then here, on November 20th, or 14 days later, I had just finished reading the original vision, this one is right, dream, that my wife had posted about the earthquake. As I got up and started going down the stairs, halfway down the stairs, I received the following revelation. That half an hour actually represents the halfway mark of the date of the California earthquake. Now, interestingly, in his first vision, which we read, which we did not read in that other testimony, where the Lord showed to him that the earthquake would have happened before the end of next week. Now, all this thing doesn't make sense anyway. Okay, but when he talked to Brother Pierre, Brother Pierre told him that the next week, a week, represents 7 years. Alright? Not 7 days. Because he took it from the book of Daniel 9. We know that 1 week is 7 days. 1 day equals to 1 year as typed by Daniel 9. So 7 days equals 7 years. So we know that 1 day is 24 hours. Evening 12 hours, morning 12 hours. Half day, 12 hours. Half of 7 days, 3.5 days. Therefore, 3.5 days equals 3.5 years. We know Daniel chapter 9. You understand that? Alright, so now, all these that he wrote here, you have to go and figure that out as he tried to make you to see. But the thing is interesting. This is the first of the dream. Okay? So, the date, the year, At that time, it's no significant. But when the Lord began to deal with it, he began to see that all this on Friday. And interestingly also that the number, if you look at other places, they have a number pattern of 12, 999, and very strange number, they appear that is consistent. Now he never knew about it. Okay, now, if you want to move this part over there. Okay, so now this vision here corresponds to this one here. Okay, 2014, April 1840. So this is the day that he got the vision. Okay. Then the southern seamount, which the wife mentioned about, if you read this testimony later. And then now, 2015, that's 1 year past. Alright, this is April, this is May. So from May 18 to the next year is 1 year. 2016, this year will be the second year, coming to May the 18th. Then 2017, May the 18th will be the third year. Okay? And funny, when it comes to what he sees, it was 160, that's one I think, but the chart is too big. Okay. Altogether, it is 162 days. And when the way he goes about doing this, if you have the accident, as I said, is kind of complicated because of the chart is being too big. By looking at all this that the Lord dealt with him, that before the end of next week, and since it's only a halfway mark, there must be another halfway mark. So he calculated the number of days to go to the halfway mark, and he found out that he landed on this day, May 26, 17, which is happened also on Friday. So he believed that for us, according to our vision and dreams and revelation, it shows that the full way mark then represents the date on which the great California earthquake is to occur. Got it? Now it's Friday. Let me ask you. When Jesus died, what day was it? Was it not Friday? Was there no earthquake? Yes. Huh? The previous great earthquake in Alaska, in America, the biggest so far in America I've ever heard of, was on a Friday. Also. So it's probably a coincidence. Strange, huh? It's probably a coincidence. I don't think so. So if this will be the day the earthquake will start, how would the scenario play out? I will put this chart once Brother Tony Rohana finished his write-up so that you could just look at it. Because this whole chart is so big. Here, I told him, I said, Brother Tony, it is your vision and the dream the Lord give you and your wife. And the Lord is dealing with you how that you will share with the people. See? So he tried to put the best he can to try to explain it. But the only thing is that it takes for you, all I have to do is to look at it. And if you will shrink it down, if you look at the numbers. Okay, these raw numbers are here. Look at this number. They all, numerical is all 99999. Is there anything unusual about this? And you know what number 9 stands for? It's the number of finality. Finality of judgment, finality of things, finality of anything the Lord is wanting to show you. So is it a coincidence? Huh. So now, if the earthquake starts on that particular day, alright? On that day, on this day, Friday, May 26, 17, when would the rapture start? I don't know. But if this were the start, and the earthquake would start from there, the mountain start falling. That would be just a part, one of the earthquake. And you know that there's a lot of aftershock. Aftershock may create a tremendous push that will create another bigger earthquake. So we do not know how many of these earthquakes before a piece of California start falling down, as Sister Lorena said in her dream, when Brother Tony pointed his finger when he was talking about this dream. He said that, my wife said, I point my finger at the map of California and said, in half an hour. And she looked and saw that a portion of California had broken away from its location into the sea. So how many days would the earthquake be a series to crack the whole piece of California down? And when that does happen with this earthquake, one is starting to come, disaster. Next one comes, a piece fall down. What do you think will be the impact on the word of prophecy as regarding all these various scenarios? Ezekiel 38:39. Will it be fought at the same time? Because after all, California is big trouble now. You understand that, don't you? Yes. And if it does, a day after another, a day after another, would therefore, with the earthquake that goes around the ring of fire and other places, would the dead in Christ then rise up? Would the seven tunnel therefore be on the scene by then? After all, as Abraham said, we're going to have a revival. The prayer has not revival yet. And you think the world knows about our revival if they are looking at the problems that they're going to solve. Everybody will be wondering now. And I won't be surprised. People will be gluing their eyes to the television like they did when 911 started. Remember? Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. And people will be panicking. What are you going to get their food? What is going to happen? See. So the thing is, are you ready? We have to be ready. How do we walk in the Lord? And you know something else, I always believe, Brother Abraham said, the rapture is a secret. It's not known to the world. It cannot be that every Christian will just disappear. It just can't be. And there is always a warning before the judgment comes. Like it was in the days of Noah. Like it was in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. Like it was in the day of Jesus Christ when he told the disciple, when you see the abomination of making desolate coming down, you stand and get out of the place. So now we have a warning. And the best scenario is for Brother Clement and his wife, before that date comes, get up first. Get up from that place. If it doesn't happen, you can go back. That's common sense. And I believe David Rajan is going to do the same. Do you know what's going to happen when that big chunk of land goes down to the sea? The estimate of the wave was so big that it's going to flush all the way to the state of Nevada. No matter how you drive yourself all the way up the hill to Lake Tahoe, it will not save you. The wave is going to be very big. And it's going to wave after wave that is going to push. You see the tsunami in Fukushima? That is only a fraction of what is expected out there. Because this earth is shaking to set free what? The Son of God. To liberate the Son of God. So the world may be able to see the coming King, the set of His kingdom. And we are ruled with Him. And this is what we are all expecting. So it wasn't just anything unusual. Isn't it? Alright. Now, the other thing I want to share with you in closing is this. You know, San Francisco earthquake had an earthquake in 1906. I don't know where you remember that. That's one of the San Francisco earthquake. And there was a lot of fire. Do you know what happened recently? And in fact, a lot of people don't seem to know. behind Los Angeles, there was this gas leak. I think Bernard Carlos should know about it. You heard about the gas leak? No. And a lot of people doesn't seem to know, it seems. And if those gas leaks with the earthquake, what do you think will happen? That's a lot of fire. And they're saying about Colorado, underneath Colorado, what is underneath that? The volcano, that's a lot of Yellowstone Park, yes. They are expecting also to blow. There are a lot of fault also actually in America. You know. So after all, it seems very strange that all the wicked things that people would do are all situated on fault line and volcanic area. Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that not so? Yes. Hollywood is right there. Huh? Many places. I think if you were to look at it. And may God have mercy on us all. I don't know. We have less than 2 years to see this thing happen. And as I said, there are a lot of Christians that believe that Christ is going to come. What about, do you know, very interestingly, May the 5th, 26th, the date that Brother Tony said the earthquake is going to occur? Right? Do you know what day is it in the Jewish calendar? Huh? And what day is it? It's Pentecost. First of Sivan. The third month of the Jewish calendar. Interestingly. Because we know the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So what would the Lord do? If you take the bride home or the Gentile first? Maybe. I don't know. Because after all, he's going to fulfill in the seventh month the trumpet. In their seventh month. It means 4 months later. So a lot of things are going to happen. So I'm not saying that the earthquake is going to start to bring up the dead so fast. We do not know how many series, how it will occur, when the Ezekiel 39 will be fought. I have no idea how the whole thing is going to merge in. But I can be sure, one thing is for sure, because of all these things coming in so fast together, the people of the world will have no time to find out that we have revival. And that's just what Brother Bram said. When the spoken word is spoken, those of the saints who are old and weak and sickly will be made well. Those who have no eyes will have eye. Those who have no arm will have arm. Those who have no leg will have leg. Do you understand? Those that are about to die will be made whole. And you think the world interesting is what's going on? And I don't think the newspaper is going to write about the miracles that happened to so and so, so and so. When the main headline is all about the disaster, the problem, the war, the crisis. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we are living an interesting time, and the hour we're living is really interesting, Lord. This is the generation we know is going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you bless your people, Lord, in this hour, and cause us to see now. For those, the Lord, in the backslidden state, we pray that, Lord, you wake them up. And we know, Lord, we need to pray for our loved one. We ask of your grace, O Lord, to give us the strength. Give us the faith, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for us, O Lord, truly opening our eyes to see and watching over us in this hour of time. We commit the rest of the evening, Lord, as you're about to come to the communion table. Help us, O Lord, to be grateful for this little important ordinance, O Lord, that you have given us. And we want to bless your holy name, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. upset it and not realizing that their Lord was to go and be crucified, shedding His blood. It was a night that the disciple must be wondering how and what was going on that Jesus Christ, the Master, would say those things. Because there are a lot of things, Lord, they do not understand until the Holy Spirit was given to them. But now, Lord, all that which was written in Thy Word, they were written for our munitions, and we realize now, truly, that without the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, there will be no redemption. It's the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for this cup of the covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that which He said, drink it. And we are grateful. Amen. For those words, Lord. And truly, Father, without partaking of it, we do not have eternal life. For our Lord and our Savior said this, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you do not have eternal life. But we partake of it tonight, Father, and knowing that we are purchased by this precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in remembrance of His death, till He come, Father, we ask that You bless this cup now. For Jesus' sake. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.